الله وبركاته. I'm ready whenever you guys are. Here we go. Interesting, we use the same expression. Let's see here. Scroll down a bit. Bismillah. We have difference in praying, like keeping hands over chest or navel, moving finger in tashahud, 8 or 20 rak'ah tarawih. I get irritated easily that we all don't perform the acts of worship in a similar fashion. How may I quench my anger in that matter? Well, I find myself forced to agree with you concerning that feeling. It is natural that we all wish we agree on all matters. Nevertheless, Allah Azza wa Jal decreed that that is not the case. Perhaps this falls under the element of being tested in life. For instance, Allah says, لَقَدْ خَلَقَنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدٍ. Verily, we have created human being in turmoil, meaning you were supposed to struggle. You are supposed to struggle. You are supposed to go through hardship. You're supposed to suffer for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the ways, if everything was just so smooth and harmonious, then when would you feel that way? So Allah decreed that even in matters of the deen, we do have this element of difference, so that Allah will test us in that fashion. So just realize it's a test from Allah and be satisfied with it. You'll be just fine, inshaAllah. Assalamu alaikum, brother. Wa alaikum assalam. For my brother, he says that his awra doesn't include his thighs. His thighs, as the Prophet ﷺ showed his calf and thighs to Abu Bakr and Umar while he sat differently for Uthman. So how may I advise him? Tell him, you do not have the right to take one incident or one hadith and then overlook or neglect the others. Because we have more than one narration to the effect or in reference to the matter of where the awra or what the awra is. And your brother, Jazallah Khair, is obliged to look into all of these narrations, and then if he still believes that hadith which he quoted, which is the known hadith, if that constitutes a valid point or a valid position, then he may remain upon that position. If he has not, however, dealt with the other narrations, he has not come across the other narrations, he has not studied the other narrations, then he has no right to follow one hadith and go with it. Otherwise, someone will come and read the ayah where Allah says, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ, and he stops. And he said, Allah says in the Quran, woe to those who pray. And then I'm not going to pray because Allah warned those who pray. But we say, no, you have to read. You have to read. فَوَيْلُ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَهُونَ. Those who concern their prayer are neglectful. So the same way you can't read one ayah, ignore the following one. You cannot read one hadith and ignore the others. So study. Tell him to study some more before he jumps to conclusions and assumes that he had discovered a treasure that everybody else among the scholars seemed not to know about. Assalamu alaikum, alaikum assalam. Regarding the face veil, you said that there was a school of Ibn Abbas versus the school of Ibn Umar. Which view did either of them support? Is the narration where Ibn Abbas covered his face except one eye to demonstrate how a woman should cover authentic? As far as I know, it is. It would be best that you refer back to the book of Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah, which is available in English, or I believe part of it was translated to English by Bilal Phillips, by Dr. Bilal, and the book is called, I believe, the Hijab of the Muslim Woman. So I advise you to read this book. You'll find it online easily. You can Google it right now, in fact, and read the book and read the evidences so you may come to the bottom of this particular issue. Assalamu alaikum, brother. Wa alaikum salam. My non-Muslim friends get irritated looking at my Facebook page where I had put so much of da'wah stuff. They even remove themselves saying that it's irrelevant for them. What should I do? As I want to keep friendship with them and invite them to Islam, shall I just leave them away having tried something for the sake of Allah, though I'm sure to lose friendship with them? Well, I would be very... what is that word I'm looking for? I'd be very selective, and I would have some reservations concerning the term friends. I would say you should call them acquaintances, because a friend is someone who agrees with you on most things. You will definitely disagree on some things, but will agree with you on most things. And if you disagree with someone on matters of faith, then there's little left for you to agree with them on. So they couldn't be really friends in this ultimate sense, because your views on life are different. Your objective in life is different. The way you dress is different. The way you pray is different. The way you believe is different. The way you speak is different. And there's nothing left except that you both like pink. And I don't think both of you liking pink constitutes a platform for friendship. Perhaps you could say this is something that you share with a million other people in the world, and that doesn't make you friends with them. So they're not your friends. They're people who you're trying to give da'wah to. They are acquaintances whom you're trying to invite to Islam. And quite frankly, if they're dissatisfied with your da'wah, then let them go away. Bye-bye. Because it's not your job. It's not your job. إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. If Allah said to the Prophet ﷺ, you do not guide those whom you love, but Allah guides whomever He wills, then you cannot possibly guide someone. And Allah says, فَلَا يَحْزُنْكَ قَوْلُهُمْ. Do not be grieved. Do not grieve over their statement. لَيْسَ عَلَيْكَ هُدَاهُمْ. It is not upon you that they are rightly guided. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا عَلَيْكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ مَنْ ضَلَّ إِذَا اهْتَدَيْتُمْ. All you have believed, upon you is yourself. It does not affect you, those who go astray, if you have been guided. So your job is to give them da'wah. Now, if you want to kind of mellow down on the amount of da'wah on your page and use other halal things to keep them attracted, then give them the da'wah on the side, then that would be nice. That would be nice, so that you can keep them and not lose them. But if that doesn't work and they go away, then you have done your job, and losing them is better than keeping them, because they may continue to complain about da'wah until you leave da'wah all alone. And they become among the shayateen of ins, among the shayateen of human beings, trying to discourage you from inviting to Allah, trying to discourage you from being outspoken about Islam, trying to discourage you from being confident in your religion. They want you to be lame, they want you to be silent, they want you to be, you know, ineffective, and you can't submit to their wishes. So you have to be very careful how you deal with the situation. Which is the bigger group of scholars? The group that say niqab is fard, or the group that say it is mustahab? If you really want to know, it's the group that say it is mustahab. As far as I know, three of the four madhahib are of the opinion that it is mustahab. Wallahu a'lam. Ala kulli hal, it is not a matter of that. Even, of course, the al-jumhur, qawl al-jumhur, lahu waznuhu. The statement of the majority of the scholars does have its weight. I understand that. But I do suggest you read the book, sister, and get a peace of mind. Barakallah fiki. What is the difference between هم فيها خالدون and خالدين فيها أبدا? Well, one of the differences is the addition of the word أبدا. And أبدا indicates further permanence, meaning eternally. So هم فيها خالدون, they shall abide therein. خالدين فيها أبدا, they shall abide therein eternally. So it is a stronger, there's a stronger emphasis. That's as far as I know. There may be other subtle differences pertaining to maybe syntax or to eloquence or rhetoric, which I'm not qualified to speak of. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Is it permissible to vote in a secular democratic state? Does voting for non-Islamic governance constitute shirk or bid'ah? This is an issue where the scholars have differed. Some of them said that involving yourself in this voting period is forbidden, and it is a form of shirk. Because the whole thing is basically you approving a law which Allah did not send down any authority concerning. The other group of scholars said, well, look at it objectively. As in, you don't agree with the law, but there are a few candidates, some of them who are either pro-Islamic, or let's say they have lesser grudge against Muslims, or their agenda against Muslims is lighter than the other, then they say you vote for the one who will give Islam more rights, who will protect them in a sense more, and who will be less harmful to them. Okay, so they said based on that, you vote with that intent, that you're trying to vote for the lesser of evil, the lesser of the two evils, not that you are approving with the whole system. Then again, the other scholar said, forget about the whole thing. So, I'm not in a position to give you a preponderant opinion here. You need a mufti to give you a fatwa. I just mentioned to you both opinions. Then you can read more on the issue and what the scholars have said, and you go with whatever you think is most pleasing to Allah. Assalamu alaikum brother, wa alaikum assalam. Is there any hadith regarding fasting on the 13th, 14th and 15th of Hijri month? Yes, there is. Absolutely. And they are known as al-ayyamul bid. Al-ayyamul bid, the white days. And it is a sunnah to fast them every month. 100% authentic, inshallah. Do not worry. Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum assalam. Can you please tell in detail about all the nafil salah like duha, awabin, tahajjud, etc.? When should we offer them and how many rak'ah? Jazakallah khair. That's a lecture. Salat al-duha can be offered from after shuruq until 15 minutes before the adhan of zuhr. Between the time of Dhuhr, let me be more specific. From after Shuruq, maybe give it 15 minutes after Shuruq, up until 15 minutes before Dhuhr. It has different names depending on when you pray it. If you pray it in the earlier time, it's called Salatul Shuruq. If you pray it towards the middle of the day, it's called Al-Duha. And it has a third name, it's the Awabin, if I'm not mistaken. The Tahajjud can be prayed from after Salatul Isha until the Adhan, until the time of Fajr. From after Isha till Fajr. And you can pray right after Isha, you can pray right before Fajr, it's up to you. The other Nawafil are the two Rak'at before Fajr, the four before Dhuhr, the two after Dhuhr, the two after Maghrib and two after Isha. These are known as as-sunan al-rawatib, the ones which the Prophet ﷺ was consistent in performing while not traveling, while being a resident. These are 12. You can add to that the salah and nafila between every adhan and iqama. And you can add to that tahiyyatul masjid, the masjid salutation. And you can add to that the four rak'at before asr. And you can add to that another two rak'at after zuhr. And that is, as far as I know, these are the main nawafil. Wallahu a'lam. I'm from Pakistan. May Allah reward you, and may Allah reward you with goodness. You are a great source of gaining right understanding of the deen. I praise Allah for His blessings. Please recommend an authentic translation along with tafsir in English and Urdu. As for Urdu, I am not qualified to speak because I don't know anything in Urdu. In terms of English, then the only tafsir available in English is that of Ibn Kathir. And it is definitely reliable and authentic, inshallah. Of course, not every narration there is sahih, but predominantly it's a reliable tafsir. As for the translation, the best translation which I personally have come across is the one by Sahih International. It is better than the one by Muhsin Ali Khan and Taqiyuddin al-Hilali. And it is definitely better than the one by Abdullah Yusuf Ali, which shouldn't be used, period, and Pixol and a few others in the market, which you shouldn't really be referring to. So you're really stuck between the one by Darus Salam, the one by Muhsin Taqiyuddin Hilali and Muhsin Ali Khan, and Sahih International, being the best. Someone suggested that Ihsanul Bayan in Urdu is good, and it's published by Darus Salam. Ihsanul Bayan. This is based on a brother whom I trust. Otherwise, I wouldn't have narrated that to you. A person asked, do men have to grow beards? What if he cannot grow one well enough? Well, I can answer in a serious manner, and I can answer in a jokingly manner. Let me use the other one for the sake of entertainment. No man has to grow his beard. All he has to do is leave it alone. It's Allah who grows it. And this is per Sheikh Yusuf Istis. So you don't grow your beard. Allah is the one who grows it at various sizes and lengths. You just leave it alone. And this answers the second part of your question. You say, what if he cannot grow one well enough? Well, he's not growing anything. He's leaving it alone. Whatever Allah grows for him, then he should be happy and satisfied with it. And that's it. So however it is, he should be just fine. Salaamu alaykum, alaykum as-salam. Have you seen the series The Arrivals? Is it authentic, and do Illuminati exist in reality? Do not watch the series known as The Arrivals. Do not watch it. It is not authentic. It is not reliable. Okay? And let me give you another hint. Anytime someone wants to present to you any Islamic material and they begin it with music or include it in music, automatically ignore the content. Because if they cannot be mindful enough of Allah to abandon something which is known to be haram, and assuming that they assume otherwise or they believe otherwise, they're not considerate enough towards the Muslims who are firm believers in its prohibition, then they don't have anything really honest to offer you, because they have failed in observing taqwa for them to be educating anyone. So the music which you hear in the beginning should have been sufficient for you not to watch the series, because it is not permissible to do so. But that is not the reason why. The reason is the whole thing is a bunch of mumbo jumbo and it's not reliable. Insha'Allah ta'ala, if Allah gives me life, then inshallah I'll be delivering a lecture about the signs of the Day of Judgment, the minor and the major, based on the authentic traditions. And inshallah, ask Allah to make it a better substitute for the Muslims than The Arrivals, which I've heard a lot about. And I'm very sad to know that so many Muslims have actually watched the series or believe that it is something which is reliable. Assalamu alaikum, alaikum as-salam. Do we need female Muslim doctors? What if all husbands of the community want to keep their wives at home? Yes, we do need female Muslim doctors. We do. And you will never find all husbands wanting to keep their wives at home. That what if is so hypothetical, it's far from reality. Don't worry about it. We wish they all felt this way. It's actually the other way around. إلا من رحم الله. نعم. Salaam alaikum, alaikum salam. Is it true that if a woman pray with her feet uncovered, her salah is nullified? Barakallah fiqh wa fiqh, barakallah. Yes. According to some of the ulama, the exposure of the feet in prayer nullifies the validity of the prayer for the sister. Because covering her feet is an obligation in the salah and outside the salah. Some of them say that it does not affect the validity of the salah. There's a known difference of opinion among the scholars. My humble suggestion and advice to all the sisters is to play it safe and cover your feet in order to avoid anything which may nullify the validity of your prayer. Salaam alaikum wa alaikum as-salam. We know about the boy in Surah Buruj. He could cure people. What if people use it as an excuse of having power to cure disease by prayer pre-Sufis? I don't know if you've read the actual hadith, Ya Shaykhna, or Ya Shaykhitna. If you've read the actual hadith, it mentions, and the boy was explicitly saying that Allah is the one who cures. In fact, when the king's friend came to him and told him, I heard that you cure people, he told him, it is Allah who cures. So that puts an end to that misunderstanding. He explicitly said, it is Allah who cures, not me. So no one can come afterwards and say, well, that he has the power to heal or cure, because he said that Allah is the one who does it. And Ibrahim before that had said, وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. And if I become sick, it is He who cures me. Allah, Azza wa Jal, not anyone else. As-salamu alaykum, brother, wa alaykum as-salam. Is there a time frame in which youngsters like us can decide for our own, like going to a different country to acquire knowledge or engaging in jihad? Wow! No, there isn't. You are ever obedient to your parents, even if you become 100 years old. As long as mama and baba don't want you to go somewhere, you're not going anywhere. So, you know, that idea is very, excuse my language, Western culture. When you're 18, you become independent, you can sue your father for interfering in your personal business, and you can tell him to take a hike, and you can tell him to hit the road, and you can tell him to leave you alone, and that's all nonsense. This is un-Islamic in every way, shape, or form, and the only reason why we feel this way is because of we have been brainwashed by the sick mentality, sick to the bones mentality. We don't have this towards our parents. Akhi, as long as they're alive and they tell you to do something, you better carry it out with a grin on your face. Unless you want to go to Jahannam, which is a whole other discussion. So no, you cannot do anything that your parents are not pleased with. As long as that thing is halal, and they're not telling you to do haram. And a man had come to the Prophet ﷺ, telling him that he wishes to engage with him and struggle in the way of Allah. He told him, are your parents alive? He said, yes. He said, فَفِيهِمَا فَجَهِدْ. So in them, do struggle. And he sent him back. He didn't bring him with him. He sent him back to his parents. Which means you need to take the permission before you do anything of this sort. Unless it's obligatory, Fard'ain, because a country has been attacked, then that's a whole other situation. You can get the fatwa from the scholar when that happens. Otherwise, be obedient to them. Barakallah fiqh. These days, there is the news that when Ali radiallahu anhu was born, the Kaaba split. And how they have found a crack in the Kaaba. They call it a miracle of Ali. Is it true? Not that I know of. Allahu alam. But be careful of learning from the Shia and winding up with a brand new religion. It is not far-fetched that they do so. They've done so already. So please verify your resources. Make sure you get them from reliable places. In Surah 35, Ayah 28, where Allah talks about those who truly fear Allah are only those who have knowledge. The Arabic word is ulima. No, it is not. The Arabic word, akhi, is ulama. I've said this until I've lost my voice. Listen to this. Read it. Ulama. There is no such word as ulima. Okay, this is like a distortion of the Arabic language. It's a major distortion of the Arabic language. Ulima, ulima. What is ulima? Ulima sounds closer to ulima. And ulima is the passive voice, is the passive voice of knowledge. Ulima meaning it was known. The word is ulama, ulama. So which means, no, I'm not saying this only to you, for everybody. Don't worry, Habibi, you're my beloved brother, I know you very well. Ulama, scholars, ulama. I'm saying this so no one can write this, no one is allowed to write this again. Not here, not anywhere else. Erase from your dictionary the word ulima. Please, 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 for the sake of Allah. This one I'm writing now, erase it. Erase it. Erase it. Ulama. Okay, but in this context, who falls into this category? Can one who has little overall knowledge, but one who has knowledge of Allah, but not necessarily fiqh, can they be put in this category? Yes, akhi. The scholars say that depending on the level of knowledge, there will be a level of fear. Depending on the level of knowledge, there will be the level of fear. They are proportional. The greater the knowledge, the more you fear Allah. The lesser the knowledge, the less you will fear Allah. Still you will fear Allah. And you're still included in this ayah, barakallahu fiqh. I'm going to test you, inshallah, all of you, about this word ulama, maybe in the future. We're going to see who's going to write it this way. Next. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Is it permissible to keep photographs of one's children, for instance, for remembrance if these pictures are not hung on walls? The opinion which I follow is no. Some of the ulama said that if you have them as a soft copy on a computer or on a phone or something along these lines, you have them, you didn't take them, but you happen to have them, you may keep them, provided that you do not print them. That is the opinion of some of the ulama. Wallahu a'lam. There must be an objective behind it. If there's no objective, just erase them. Salaam alaikum wa alaikum salam. Could you please clarify about badal hajj, or doing hajj for someone who has passed away? Someone told me I don't have to and should not do this, but I want to do something meaningful for my mother who has passed away and has not performed hajj. Please help to clarify. Zakallah khair. Tell this person who's advising you to chill out and refrain from advising if they're not qualified to do so. Otherwise, their advice will create more of a problem than bring any solutions. You are allowed to do hajj on behalf of your mother. In fact, this is one of the forms of dutifulness towards her, particularly if she did not perform hajj, meaning it's not voluntary, it's the her obligatory hajj which you're fulfilling for the sake of Allah. Go ahead, ya akhi, and do it on behalf of your mother. Barakallahu feek. Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum salam. Well, my ex-husband, new wife, is an atheist. What? They recently recently have a child. How do my kids respond to this, and how should their relations be to this child? Your ex-husband is in a state of an illegal relationship with a woman who is unlawful for him. His sexual relation with her is a form of adultery to which he should be stoned to death. And his child are a child of fornication and adultery. They're not legitimate children. A Muslim may never marry an atheist. That whole marriage is not a marriage. It's something else. We cannot call it zawaj in Islam. It's zina. Because Allah only permitted a Muslim man to marry either a Muslim woman or a Christian or a Jew. Provided that the Christian or the Jewish women are chaste women. An atheist was never included in the formula. So this is wild, wild, wild stuff. And this person needs to be advised. And someone needs to educate him. So he may, you know, he may fix up and rectify his situation before it's too late. Until such time, your kids have nothing to do with these kids. And he should be, he shouldn't be around them much, because it doesn't seem that he, you know, either he's very ignorant or he doesn't seem to value Islamic teachings at all. To marry an atheist. A'udhu billah. Nasallahu al-afiyah. Salaam alaykum, bro. Wa alaykum salam. We were having an argument about salah time, bro. Here in Europe, we pray Maghrib at 10:06 and Isha at 12 a.m. Some brothers say you can pray Isha 1 hour after Maghrib, and others say the prayer must be on time. Those who want to pray 1 hour after Maghrib is because they want to sleep early. Please advise us on this. I can't. You need a scholar. You need a scholar to issue you a fatwa. I am not qualified to do so. Forgive me. I convey to you what I know from the scholars. I do not produce my own verdicts. I am not qualified. Salaamu alaykum, akhi, wa alaykum as-salam. Please clarify the correct opinion on the timing to stop eating suhoor. I've read that there's a hadith that allows finishing the drink in one's hand even during adhan. How about food on the plate? I don't know about the food on the plate, but yes, if you have something in your hand, then you finish it. That's what I know based on the narrations. Assalamu alaikum, alaikum salam. In newspaper came a news that a Muslim man beat his wife. Now people talking about him, like how cruel he is, etc. Is it backbiting? It depends. If they're speaking about him to warn against his actions, then this is fine. If they're just speaking about him for the sake of speaking without an objective, a noble objective behind that speech, then yes, it is backbiting. So it depends on the intention. Assalamu alaikum, alaikum salam. I would like to ask regarding women who are working far from their family due to financial reasons, like out of the country, and without mahram. Are these women committing major sin? Not necessarily. If they are forced to work away because of a particular need, and they don't have any mahram to be with them, and they fear Allah in the way they conduct themselves, then they're not necessarily sinful. This depends from a woman to another. Meaning, in the case of some women, it may be sinful, while in the case of others, it may not be sinful. So it is really relevant to the situation and to the lady. It is not something which we can, generalize and include everyone in. There's a big school in Pakistan called Darul Uloom. What is your view on this institution? If it is related to the Deobandi, then you got to leave it alone. If it's Deobandi, you leave it alone. Barakallah feek. What can a wife do if she is left alone for over 1 year and a half after being married in a country away from her husband, and her husband does not speak to her, call her, or anything besides send money for her expenses? The husband has some practices in the deen which concern her, such as using dhikr beads. What dua can she say, or how can she approach the issue? She can either remain patient, or she should ask for divorce. Either she remains patient, or she asks for divorce. And she has the right to ask for a divorce, because it is her right that her husband does not leave her for a period over 6 months, and that he does not abandon her in totality. And Allah made that forbidden in the Quran. You know, he spoke about al-mu'allaqa, the one who's left hanging. So, you know, either be patient or find a way out. This is not right. This is not right. It is not a matter of giving you money and leaving you. There's more to the marriage than that. There's more to it than that. Na'am. I'm a doctor, but quit working recently in order to pursue my deen da'wah. My suitor wishes that I continue working if inshallah I get married to him, and perhaps halt my hifz. He says he's done istikhara and consulted with ulama. You wrote ulama. Ulama. Oh, you sent this before. Okay, you're right. I'm sorry. You probably sent this question way before I made that correction. Fine. He consulted with scholars regarding the same. They urged me not to abandon my career and not to waste the education that I've got. My family is inclined towards the same as well. Please suggest. Well, it depends, sister. It depends on where you're working and who you're dealing with. If you as a doctor, if you're treating both men and women, then I'm very interested to know who your husband consulted among the scholars who recommended that you remain working as a doctor treating men and women alike. I'm very interested to know. However, if you're treating women only, and there's a need for you in the community, in the society, as opposed to the Muslim woman being exposed before strange men, you become their alternative, then yes, I will tell you, this could be a greater da'wah and more rewarding in the sight of Allah than you giving da'wah. Because you are fulfilling, you're blocking or you're covering an aspect that is much needed in the community. It's known in Arabic as saddu thughur. I'm having a hard time rendering that to English. It's like filling in an occupation that is needed by the community, and there aren't that many people to do it. How about that? So I'm waiting for an answer from you, and I allow you to do it on the main page. Are you treating, or maybe you don't feel comfortable, you may message me directly. Are you treating both male and female, or only females? Feel free to inform me in whatever way you think suitable. Okay then, yes, if it's only females, I, along with these other scholars and ulama and your family, will say, do not abandon your career, because the Muslim community needs you. I wouldn't want to take my wife to a man. And if I knew that there's one female doctor that is 20 kilometers away, 50 kilometers away, I will drive the distance just so that my wife will see a Muslim female before I make her see a strange male who was down the street from us. That is the mentality of men. So when you're there, you're helping so many Muslims, and so make sure that your niyyah is for the sake of Allah. I think this is tremendous, a tremendous way for you to gain a lot of reward. Inshallah ta'ala, remain upon that path. And of course, as a doctor, it doesn't mean you can't give da'wah. Da'wah is not just you go around giving lectures, sister. You can give da'wah as a doctor. The mere salam, the mere you're not in. Hey, if your heart is not there, still I would say be patient for the sake of Allah. That field you're in,
is also is one of the most sensitive ones that does require a female, doesn't it? Allahu alam. Don't quit your hifz. Do both. Do both. You can do both. وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتْ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. If you seek aid from Allah. You can do both. May Allah make it easy for you. Salaamu alaykum wa alaykum salam. Is it permissible to call yourselves or call ourselves Salafi or Salafiyya? No. No, it is not permissible for you to call yourself Salafi. And who are you or who am I or who are they to call themselves Salafi? If you mean that you're someone who strives to follow the way of the Salaf, then I say, Barakallah Fik, say, I'm someone who strives with my many shortcomings to follow the way of the Salaf. If you mean by Salafi praising yourself, then that's a problem. But what is worse than that, than all of that, is that Salafiyya has become a sect. And Salafis have created their own group in Islam, to which they have adherence or adherents. And if you don't adhere to the Salafi sect, then you're deviant automatically. Stamp on your head. Either you're a Salafi and you listen to Sheikh and Sheikh and Sheikh, or if you don't have Sheikh and Sheikh and Sheikh, you're a misguided, a deviant creature, innovator. You get away from the Sunnah, as if the Deen was confined in three modern day scholars, and all the scholars of the past, you know, you have no right to refer yourself back to them. Ajeeb, ajeeb, these creatures, man. No, this is a sickness. Akhi, you're a Muslim. You are a Muslim, be happy with it. If you want to explain to someone as an adjective, not as a proper noun, say I'm a Salafi, as in I follow the way of the Salaf, no problem to be used in that context. But as a proper noun, no. You don't have the right to do that. And you shouldn't, even if people hate it. Sometimes doubts about things in Islam where our mind cannot comprehend pop up into my mind, and I mostly clear them up myself by thinking about them, but I'm afraid that when, what is that word? Sakra, whatever that word is, comes shaitan might trap me. Please advise. Akhi, the Sahaba complained similarly to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he told him, أَوَجَدْتُمْ هَذَا أَوَجَدْتُمْ هَذَا. Have you found that? Have you started getting these thoughts about Allah which drive you insane? And they said, yes. He said, this is Iman. You, congratulations, you have reached Iman. So don't worry about it. Just ignore them and say, Aman to Billah, and seek refuge with Allah from the shaitan, and you'll be just fine. Even at the time of death. If you were a true believer, Allah says, يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ وَيُضِلُّ اللَّهُ الظَّالِمِينَ وَيَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ. Allah will keep firm and give the firm statement of those who believe in this life and in the life to come. So if you're a true believer, Allah will give you that قول الثابت. يثبتك الله بالقول الثابت. Allah will keep you firm with the firm statement at the time of death. Don't you worry, my brother. And the word is سكرة الموت. سكرة تو. As opposed to سكرة. نعم. سكرة الموت. Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum assalam. I'm a practicing Muslim, alhamdulillah. I proposed to practicing Muslima for marriage. She accepted. Her mom also don't have any problem. Her mom doesn't have any problem. My mother has talked with her and her mother, but her dad has problem because I'm from Pakistan and she is Irani Baluchi. Please advise. I don't know what to say. That's a tough one. You need a marriage consultant, or you need a person in the community who can speak to the father that this is, you know, this is ignorance to refuse you on the grounds of your nationality. But you know, if the father is not happy, he's going to have a hard time getting married. So Allahu A'lam. Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum assalam. What tips you can give for people whose only source of learning the deen is the web, especially to avoid hearing and even being a fan of a speaker scholar who at the end you would know that he is a deviant. Also to avoid reading articles that have been done by deviants. Is there a way to recognize deviant scholar you only know in net? Well, I mean, for you to identify deviants, you must have knowledge of the truth. Without knowledge of the truth, deviants may not be identified. The issue of reliable sources and resources is very, very important. And alhamdulillah, the reliable websites are known and available online. I do suggest the Islamic Online University of Villa Phillips. Inshallah, there you can acquire authentic knowledge. Once you have authentic knowledge, then you will know where the deviance is and you'll be able to avoid it. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Brother, please give me the statement of Sheikh Albani of eating with a spoon as it is closer to the sunnah because you hold it with the thumb and two fingers. You gave me the statement, how am I going to give it to you? You gave it to me already, and I even read it for you, so I gave it back to you. Is there any authentic hadith that mentioned to read the last three verses of Surah Al-Hashr after Fajr or Subh? No, there isn't, as far as I know. Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum assalam. What should a woman when while praying her awra uncovers? She needs to cover it immediately, or she should not do any movement that do not take part of the salah if her salah is valid. She should cover it. And this idea that you're not allowed to move in salah is baseless in Islam. You are allowed to move in salah. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took off his shoes while leading the Sahaba in salah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would pick up his grandchildren in salah, and he picked up Maymuna in salah. He opened the door for Aisha radiallahu anha in salah. All of this thing, he returned the salam with a hand gesture in salah. So this idea, which is found among the Hanafi madhab, that three movements will invalidate your salah, is an invalid statement. You may move according to need. Now, over excessive or excess movement, where someone scratches the head, scratches the beard, scratches the nose, scratches the ear. Some people clean their ears and see what they have. Some people clean their nails. Some people pick their nose. Some people, you know, do all that. That is not acceptable. Some people pull out their phone and see who called and they send the text message. I saw someone once answer the phone in the salah. Imagine sending the salah phone and say, "Hello, I'm praying now." Come on, man. We must be out of your brain. Akhi, what salah is this? So, you know, that is not allowed. But moving to cover your awra, moving to scratch something that is really bothering you, is no mushkila. No mushkila, no problem. Salaam alaikum wa alaikum salam. Some people claim to have seen the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in their dream and he has given them some instructions. Should we believe such individuals? No. You can believe that they saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in their dream, and when they tell you that, tell them to describe him for you, to make sure that they have seen him, not seen someone else. As for given instructions, absolutely not. Because that means that revelation has not ended, it continues until now. Which is a form of disbelief. So, no. I know that we are not supposed to travel without a mahram. I'm a revert to Islam and I'm the only Muslim in my family. So I would like to know, am I allowed to travel without a mahram and must I go on Hajj? You're not allowed to travel without a mahram and you are not expected to do Hajj until you find a mahram. And assume the worst. Let's assume, and may Allah give you a long life of good deeds and righteousness. Let's assume you pass away before you ever perform Hajj. Allah will not hold you accountable for that. You are not sinful at all, because Allah said, وَحَجُّ الْبَيْتِ لِمَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا, performing Hajj for the one who has the ability to do so. You are not considered to be one who has the ability to do so. So you're not blameworthy. Don't you worry, sister. But I ask Allah to facilitate for you that, and ask Allah to guide your family members to Islam, so that you and your brother, inshallah, will perform Hajj together as Muslims. Ameen. Can a brother put his picture on Facebook, or is it not permissible? It is not permissible to put your picture on Facebook or Twitter or whatever other websites that are out there in the world. You do not need your picture. Nobody needs to see you posing. If you're giving a lecture, like now, live talk or video, go ahead. But to stand like this. And what? What? And what? Okay, what? Now what? Okay, beautiful, you look nice. And, okay, yes, yes, next. Nothing. There's absolutely no benefit. And if you happen to be handsome, then you'll be a big fitna for the sisters. Why do that? Why do that? No one needs to see you, akhi. Your wife, she'll be happy to see you at home every day. Yeah, right. But besides that, no one is interested, barakallah feek. Not males nor females. Assalamu alaikum, brother, wa alaikum assalam. Do you have a plan to deliver a lecture on Tahir al-Qadri, who is inviting the people to worship other than Allah in the name of Islam? Some even call him Shaykh al-Islam. That's disaster. Yes, I have the plan to do so, inshallah ta'ala. Until then, leave him alone. Okay, assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum salam. Akhi, please clarify the correct opinion on the timing to stop eating suhoor. I've answered that already. Next. Can we marry Hindu girls? No, 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 N-O, in Arabic, la, 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 kalla, 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 haram, haram, haram. You can't marry a Hindu girl, you can't marry a Buddhist girl, you can't marry an atheist, you can't marry an agnostic, you can't marry anything, I'm sorry, any girl except a Muslim or a Jewish or a Christian girl, provided that they are chaste. They're nice women who don't know men. Virgins. Okay? Anything else, akhi, is not allowed. It's a form of fornication. We send the Prophet salam as alayhi salam. Some say alayhi salam, which is correct. Alayhi salam, alayhi wa salam, alayhi wa salam. No, the correct one is alayhi salam. There is no alayhi wa salam. Questions will be answered in the order received. But we only have 6 minutes. I'm not able to wake up at Fajr time. Can I pray it with Dhuhr? And do you know any ulama? You mean any ulama in Pakistan who is on the Sunnah? Because most are Diobandis on the Sunnah. Diobandis are not on the Sunnah. I don't know of any ulama in Pakistan because I've never been there. I'm not familiar with the Urdu language. And before all that, why are you not waking up for Fajr? And praying it with Dhuhr is a bid'ah. It's a bid'ah. You are not allowed. Allah will not accept it. Allah wants Fajr to be at Fajr time, not after sunrise, and surely not at Fajr or not at Dhuhr time. So fear Allah, ya akhi. fear Allah Azza wa Jal and pray Fajr on time. Wake up. Why can't you wake up? Would you miss a flight? Would you miss a flight if it was at the Fajr time? No, you would not. You either wouldn't go to sleep, or you will make sure that you have 10 alarms set to make sure that you wake up prior to the departure time so that you won't miss a flight. And quite frankly, the salah is way more important than any flight. So there is no excuse for you to miss Fajr, Habibi. Khalas, today was the last day. Starting tomorrow, inshallah, you will never miss Fajr again. Have that strong determination. Barakallah feek. How much, assalamu alaikum wa alaikum salam, how much communication is allowed between a wife and her husband? Especially if they are far apart and the two families have decided upon their marriage. Can a woman and man exchange formal emails to know of each other just before nikah? What's the right way? Ya akhi, Allah yaghfir lak. How are you calling them husband and wife before marriage? I mean, when you say the communication between husband and wife, what is allowed? Everything is allowed. They're married. So if you mean prior, say the engaged couple, the people who are about to get married, the fiance and the, you know, whatever, but you cannot call them husband and wife until they become husband and wife. This is why it's very important to word our questions correctly so that we will not get the wrong fatwa based on the wrong understanding of the one who's reading the question. So alhamdulillah, at the end of the question, I understood what you meant. The only thing allowed, my beloved brother in Islam, is that they do not communicate with one another until they get married. Okay? Unless a third party or a third person is with them. A third person must be with them. Other than that, they cannot communicate because this will open the door of a lot of evil. The marriage may never materialize and the problems will never end. Salaamu alaikum wa alaikum salam. I always wear my hijab when I go out, but inside wear jeans and tops. Is that haram? No, it's not. Because they say women shouldn't like men, but even after wearing my hijab, I shouldn't wear jeans. Please explain. You can wear that. Wearing a top and jeans are not particular to men, according to some of the ulama, even though others say that they are particular to men. But if you follow the position that they're not particular to men, then there's nothing wrong with you wearing a top and jeans or whatever you like at home. So what you wear outside and what you wear inside are two different things. No issues, inshallah. I heard a hadith which says that the dead person is punished in the grave if someone cries during their death. A few weeks back, a pious uncle of mine died and one of his youngest daughters was crying next to his dead body until he was taken away. Is this hadith authentic? And if so, why is it done? The hadith is authentic, ya akhi. And the hadith doesn't say crying. The hadith says wailing. And there's a difference between crying and wailing. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam cried over the death of his son. He cried over the death of his son sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ibrahim. But he did not wail over him. Wailing as a form of screaming and crying and beating oneself and ripping one's clothes as a form of disagreement and displeasure and dissatisfaction with the decree of Allah. That is haram. That is what Islam forbade and prohibited, not the mere crying. So if that young lady cried over her father, this is absolutely fine. If she started screaming and saying bad things like why and no and this and that, then it becomes haram. Now, the scholars add, however, that if the man had notified his family members or mentioned in his will that he does not agree with this act, then they did it regardless, he's not held accountable. But if he was happy with it and he wanted them to cry over him in this fashion, this is when he will be punished for their wailing. So it is, if he had warned against it and they ignored him, and even if they wailed, Allah Azza wa Jal will not hold him accountable for their actions. Now, this is how the scholars explain it. Barakallah feek. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I want to ask, when is the right time to recite Surah Al-Fatiha while praying before an imam? You recite it before him, with him, or after him. It doesn't matter as long as you recite the Fatiha. if the only universities in my country are mixed girls and boys, what should I do? Abandon education? No, distance learning. Distance learning is fantastic. You sit behind a screen like you're sitting now, and you handle all your business. Barakallah feek. Can we Muslims donate our dead body for the medical experiments? No. It's the property of Allah, not our property. And one may not do so. The Prophet ﷺ said, breaking the bone of a dead man is like breaking the bone of a live man. Meaning that there's that sacredness and sanctity of the dead body in Islam is equal to the one who's alive. No one can use it for experiments. Our time is up, ya Fadilatul Monitor D. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How many rak'ah do we offer in duha and qiyamul layl? And what are the other nafil salah apart from these? I mentioned that already. Please go back to the recording. Go back to the recording of this particular lesson or this question and answer session. That same question was asked and the answer was given then. It's a little long. That's why I cannot repeat it now. I cannot afford it due to time constraints. Hurry up. 6 more questions. Allahu musta'an. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. For people who are wearing niqab, is it okay for them to make their default picture with niqab as it is indeed covering their awrah? Thank you. You cannot have a picture, period. A sister cannot have a picture even if she had nothing but a black fabric covering her face and all you can see is nothing but black. Still, she shouldn't have a picture of herself on anything. Because believe it or not, there are men out there who will try to imagine what you look like or may like the shape of your head. Okay? Just in case you didn't know, men are very strange creatures if they don't follow the deen of Allah. I mean, I'm serious. You go, you see some of these crazy fetishes that people have and you'll be shocked at some of these things. So men are, you know, just trust me on this one. You don't need a picture of yourself, not with a niqab, not without. Salaam alaikum, alaikum salam. Some people don't eat food with garlic due to the practice of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and due to the smell of garlic that may affect one's smell. Please clarify. Jazakumullah khair. No problem. If they wish to avoid it because of the smell, no one can tell them anything. Salaam alaikum, alaikum salam. Why do women in Saudi Arabia cannot drive cars? Is there any evidence for that in the Quran or Sunnah? Women in Saudi Arabia don't drive cars because they do not need to drive cars. And the evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah, we have evidences, not one evidence. But if you're looking for an evidence which says women are not allowed to drive cars, then you're looking for the wrong evidence because cars did not exist back then. But the principles of Islam are of such that women are protected from being harmed and that men are caretakers of women. And that woman should be preserved like a pearl. And when women driving in this country, at least, I don't know about other countries, will deny them of all of these rights and privileges. So subsequently, it is not befitting in this country that women drive. So what makes it impermissible are the general principles in Islam, not a particular hadith. And this may not be applicable in other countries, just for your information. Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum salam. Is it obligated for a brother to pray his 5 prayers in a mosque, even if the mosque is too far away, and how far is far away? References would be appreciated. The man is supposed to pray the 5 daily prayers in the masjid, provided that he can hear the adhan. If he hears the adhan without the presence of speakers and microphones, then he is obliged to pray in the masjid. If the masjid is too far, as in the distance is as such that he cannot hear the adhan, that he is not obliged to pray, but is very, very highly recommended that he does so. Now, because of the reward associated with that. That's too long of a question, ya Sheikh. and plus the issues of the issue of marriage and stuff like that, if it gets too detailed, it requires a marriage consultant, and I'm not qualified really to advise on these issues. So with this, inshallah, we conclude. And pardon me, I ask the sister to pardon me for not being able to address her question, but it's very technical and it's very long, and you know, it requires a judge or someone who's well versed in the science, and surely I am not of those. So جزاكم الله خير وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين صلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.